Election kicks off your sports report.
Kim incumbent Sepp Blatter is widely expected to be reelected to a fifth term next week as president of World Football's governing body, FIFA. The 79-year-old Blatter has led FIFA since 1998. His path to reelection was made a lot easier Thursday when two of his challengers, Luis Figo and Michael Van Praagh, dropped out. Former Portugal star Figo said FIFA has been a dictatorship under Blatter. In a statement, Figo said he refuses to go along with an election process that's designed, in his words, for the delivery of absolute power to one man, indicating Blatter. Meanwhile, at a news conference in Amsterdam, Dutch Football Association president Michael Van Praagh had this to say.
I am perfectly happy where I am right now. But I felt and still feel that FIFA needs to do better and that it is impossible that FIFA moves forward with its current leadership. This is why I decided to challenge Mr. Blatter. We need change in governance, in leadership, and in the culture of FIFA. We need to embrace criticism as an encouragement to be better.
Michael Van Praagh says he and Luis Figo are now backing Prince Ali bin Al Hussein of Jordan, the only remaining candidate in the May 29th FIFA presidential elections.
This campaign was always about the need to bring football forward and improve FIFA. And it still is. This is why the three of us sat down to discuss our chances. I have the support of many European countries and many more from all over the world, as we all do. So we decided to put our cards on the table, because we also concluded that we believe, as do practically all key players in the world, that one single candidate would have a bigger chance to win the election. Prince Ali Al Hussein convincingly demonstrated that at this moment in time, he is the candidate who has the biggest chance to challenge Sepp Blatter.
Prince Ali also spoke at the Amsterdam news conference. He said he believes Blatter has been in power long enough and it's time for new initiatives within FIFA.
Mr. Van Praagh and I share much common ground in our goals for FIFA. As President Van Praagh already mentioned to you, we work together to incorporate some of his policy proposals into my manifesto so that these important ideas were not lost to FIFA. I will be sending a revised copy of our manifesto to all National Association presidents immediately after this press conference. The new pledges, some of which Michael already mentioned, are a pledge to increase annual FAP payments to national associations to $1 million per year, to be annually disbursed on January 1st every year. A pledge to publish the Garcia report in full as soon as possible. A commitment to developing a program that combats discrimination in all its forms, predicated on education programs and leadership by example.
The 39-year-old Prince Ali, a member of FIFA's executive committee, is regarded as a progressive candidate. Under his leadership, he was instrumental in persuading FIFA's rulemaking body to allow Muslim women footballers to wear the hijab or headscarf when they play. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Happy Friday, David.
Thank you, Sonny.
Togo is taking on a Belgian to guide its national team. How about an update for our Voice of America football fans?
Yes, Sonny. Tom Saint-Fiet, he's a man that's been around a bit. He's coached Ethiopia. More recently, he coached the South African club Free State Stars, but only lasted a couple of months before he got the sack. He now is seen as the savior of Togo. Togo are a team that regularly change coaches. Didier Six a Frenchman, former star winger of the French national side. He took Togo to the 2013 Africa Cup of Nations quarterfinals, and his reward for being the first coach to achieve that feat with the Sparrowhawks was to get the sack. And the reason for that was he did not get on well with Emmanuel Adebayor, who, of course, is the star of the Togo team. And it's interesting that Adebayor also clashed with the Nigerian Stephen Keshi, head of the 2006 World Cup, and that led to Keshi being fired and replaced by the veteran German Otto Fischer. So golden rule number one, if you're coaching Togo, make sure you get on with Emmanuel Adebayor.
David, in African women's football, a prolific scorer from South Africa decides to hang up her boots. How about some details?
Yes, Sonny, this is amazing, really. Her name is Portia Medise. She's 31 years of age. And how about these statistics? She's played 117 international matches for South Africa. And believe it or believe it not, she has scored 102 goals. Now that is Ronaldo Messi style scoring. Not far short, Sonny, of a goal a game. An incredible achievement. She made her international debut in 2000. Not only has she played in Soweto in South Africa, but she's also played in Denmark. But she's decided to hang up her boots to concentrate on coaching. And, Sonny, I'm not going to be too brave or too intellectual when I predict that maybe in the not-too-distant future, the coach of the team known as Banyana Banyana will be one Portia Medise. I predict with a fair degree of certainty that she will coach the South African national women's team sooner rather than later. Fantastic achievement, and well done to Portia Medise. I repeat that amazing statistic, 117 international caps, 102 goals.
Let's give some kudos to new league champions in both Morocco and Rwanda. First, Morocco, David. How about an update?
Yes, Sonny. The champions there are Wydad Casablanca, and they did it in style thanks to a hat-trick by a Gabonese player by the name of Malik Uvuna. It gave them a 3-0 win over Hassania Agadir, and that clinched the Moroccan title, which is undoubtedly one of the most competitive in Africa. And well done, too, to APR, that's the military club in Rwanda. They've clinched their 8th title in 10 years. A fantastic achievement. 15 victories, 7 draws, and 4 defeats. They scored 43 goals, and they conceded 18. And they finished ahead of AS Kigali. So for Wydad Casablanca supporters in Morocco and APR supporters in Rwanda, well done.
Well done indeed, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
Game on, VOA sports fans. In the National Basketball Association playoffs, the Golden State Warriors held off the visiting Houston Rockets 99-98 to take a 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals. Golden State star Stephen Curry, the league most valuable player, and Houston star James Harden had a spectacular duel. Curry scored 33 points, while Harden scored a game-high 38 points, along with 10 rebounds and 9 assists. Now, Harden had a chance to win the game in the closing seconds, but he lost the ball after Curry and teammate Klay Thompson trapped him. Curry talked about the play after the game.
We talked about in the huddle, whether we scored or not, there was going to be nine seconds left on the clock. And whether they took a timeout, I don't know if they had one or not, but to be ready for the attacks, we kind of do that in a similar situation where, you know, if you get a stop, you push it and see what happens. So, you know, once HB went for the layup and missed and Draymond tried to get the rebound, it was kind of me and Klay and Andre on the other side retreating. And you saw James kind of put his head down. You knew he probably wasn't going to pass in that situation. So just to kind of stand him up before the three-point line, Klay funneled him right to me, and I was able to get a body on him. He threw it away to Dwight and threw it right back. And at that point, it's just don't let him get a shot off and try to be the hero. So we were able to get it done. And the key for us going to the next game is to protect our leads down the stretch of the fourth quarter, because we built up 7-8-point leads in the last two games and made it a little too drama-filled for us. So we want to figure that out as we go to Houston.
That's Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors, the National Basketball Association's league most valuable player. Houston will host Game 3 in the Western Conference Finals. That game will be played Saturday night, and Game 4 in the Best of 7 series will be Monday night, also in Houston, Texas. Meanwhile, the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals will resume later Friday night in the southern U.S. city of Atlanta, Georgia. The host Atlanta Hawks are hoping to come back from a 97-89 loss in Game 1 against LeBron James and the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. I'm VOA Sunny Young, and that's the